In the book of Ephesians.
And last time we were in the book of Ephesians, we went on part 2 of the result of our calling is godliness. The result of our calling is godliness. As I said, the book of Ephesians from chapter 1 to chapter 3 is all good, solid doctrine. Apostle Paul builds a solid foundation of theology on chapter 1 to chapter 3. From chapter 4 to chapter 6, it's all going to be practical things. On this solid foundation of theology, what we have learned now, what we have learned from our mind and took to our hearts, now it's time to put it into practice. That's why it's so important from chapter 4. And last time, remember, we are going to go through verse 2. Apostle Paul said from verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bear with one another's love. And this is the calling that we receive. Now, one thing we had to understand is that we have been called from darkness to the kingdom of God, from wickedness to the holiness of God. And now, as a Christian, what is our chief goal? Our chief goal is to glorify God. That is our chief goal, is to glorify God in every possible way. And to glorify God, it means to live a life of holiness. Then God will be glorified. Okay? And so we saw one of the fruits of regeneration is humiliation. And we will continue in the same context here, and we are going to see that humiliation is so essential. If on this humiliation comes all the other things, meekness, long-suffering, forbearance in love with one another, out of humiliation comes everything else. I'm going to show you why it is so important. And we studied last time, humiliation is so important to our Christian living. If you don't have humiliation, that means you don't have long suffering. If you don't have humiliation, you don't have meekness. You don't have forbearance with one another in love. You don't. That's why humiliation is the crux of the issue here. Now, says here, with lowliness and meekness. So we went through humiliation, but I'm going to touch in that later on. And meekness. And what does it mean to be meek? Today we understand the word meek is kind of to be kind of kind and mild type person. Kind of type of weak type person. Meek, you know. It means like being submissive to everybody. You know, there's a saying, meek as a mouse. I don't know whether you heard that or not. Meaning a kind of a timid type person. But this is not the biblical meaning of meek. The Greek adjective is praos and the noun is praotis. Some translators have suggested the word gentleness. But unfortunately, our English language cannot give the full meaning of meekness. Meekness is not timid. The biblical Greek scholar A.T. Robertson explains the following on meekness. The English word meek has largely lost the fine blend of poise and strength meant by the master. He called himself meek and lowly in heart. Matthew 11:29. And also Moses is called meek. If you remember, in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men who were on the face of the earth." So does it mean that Moses was so timid and so scared? Of course not. Moses was a leader. And he was brave enough to go and speak to Pharaoh directly and say, "Let my people go." So here, meekness has another meaning. The meaning of meekness is that strength under control. And so, we saw last time that humility is the mother of all Christian character. As I said, humility, out of humility comes gentleness, long-suffering, and all these things out of humility. And this is something that's visible in a person. It is something that is visible in a person. And this, if you remember, that humility is so important that it is the first action of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because He left His throne of heaven. What a place to live and come down to this wicked earth. He left from above, from high to low. And He took a position of a servant. That is the lowliness of mind. That means He refused to come as a king. It means humility has to do is refusing our rights and putting our neighbor's interest first. That is important. If you don't have humility, you're going to miss everything. This is like a chain that is being linked to one another. You cut one piece, then everything else is gone. Remember Abraham and Lot. When their treasures were increasing, in a sense, their servants had a strike. And then, what did Abraham tell Lot? Abraham told Lot, "Hey, let's stop this strife, what is going on. You and I will depart wherever we want to go." But Abraham gave Lot the first choice. Abraham, the older person, could have said, "Hey Lot, you listen to me. Alright? I'm going that way. That's where I want to go. That's the best place. And you go the opposite way." He didn't say that. This is called humility. Giving the other person the preference. You're more concerned about the other person. And humility is bending down and seeking others first. Remember how Jesus washed the disciples' feet. That is amazing. That is the lowest position of a slave, to wash somebody else's feet. Faith, being God Almighty, coming down from heaven, becoming a servant, even going to the lowest position, shows humility. And that is to show that to follow His example, as Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he said, "Imitate me as I follow Christ." Now, when you have humility, remember, also missionaries going to other countries, that's not an easy thing. That is humility. Just like Jesus came from heaven to here, missionaries leaving their comforts, leaving their families, leaving their nice jobs and going to another country to preach a gospel in a lower situation, in adverse conditions, that is humility. Even in evangelism, we sacrifice and go to streets and so forth like that. That is humility. And as Christians, we can show the light of God through humility to a darkened world. Now the word meekness is closely linked, as I said, with humility and gentleness. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Hold on to Ephesians. Turn with me to Colossians 3:12. As the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. Just like what we read in the book of Ephesians. Also, see Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 12. Here, I will live in your midst a meek and humble people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. So here we see humility and meekness goes together. Now the meekness is first toward God. Meekness does not struggle, but simply it submits to the authority of God in our daily life. It produces strength under control when you submit to God's will. It's like a wild horse that has so much strength now being tamed, but that horse is under control. And without being humble, you cannot be meek. Now, remember a person who struggled with God, who didn't want to submit to God's authority in the Old Testament. Jonah was a good example. Jonah, when God told him to go to Nineveh and preach repentance, Jonah wasn't very happy. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He struggled against God's will. He evaluated the situation in his own eyes because he saw the people of Nineveh were exceedingly wicked. And Jonah evaluated in his own eyes, and his own strength and power failed. When that failed, he tried to commit suicide. But God had already prepared a fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah learned meekness or humility in the belly of a fish. And not he was prideful, but he was tested, found to be he learned salvation is of the Lord when he was in the belly of a fish. But he had to learn that salvation is of the Lord in humility. Now Paul goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, with lowliness, gentleness, and long-suffering. Long-suffering. The Greek word is a noun and a verb. The noun is macrothumia. Now, this macrothumia can be divided into two words here. The word macros means long, and the word thumos means temper. It means to have a long temper, not a short fuse, but a long fuse. Basically, it means that you are having a long fuse. It means to forbear and to have patience. Now, long suffering is basically to carry the cross, to bear the cross. We see the saints of God like Job, right? Like David, like Paul in the New Testament, and many others went through heavy duty trials, and they were able to have long suffering. Now, long suffering is when you are, a lot of times when you are provoked to anger. You got angry as somebody made you angry. Does this happen to you in your normal life? People make you angry? When that happens, your instinct is to retaliate right then and there. your instinct is to get into the flesh and get into a panic attack. Now, long suffering is the opposite of anger. It means you are kind of cooled down. Long suffering is associated with mercy. You know, God being a merciful God is long suffering toward us. He can send His judgment if He wants to, but He's being merciful. In the same way, we need to practice the same idea. Our God is a long-suffering God. Long-suffering God in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping the mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, which is in the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's to the third and the fourth generation. So God is long-suffering with patience. Now, when somebody provokes you to anger, as we said, long-suffering has to do with patience. You need to have patience. Because we are living in a world that unexpected things will happen that will come our way. And patience is very important. Patience is something that will not surrender to circumstances. Patience will not surrender to circumstances and situations. That is patience. Now, if somebody hits you, it's not your fault. Somebody make fun at you and even physically abuse you. What will you do? Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 39, I'll tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps on you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Now, Jesus said it, and he practiced, he showed it. Apostle Paul says, Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. So here, when we are provoked to anger for something that we haven't even done, and you say, this is not fair. Now where is your patience? You get into the flesh right away. So we need to have patience. So here we see, Lord said, hey, don't revenge. Revenge is not yours. Give it to the Lord. Lord will take care of that. I'll tell you. If you're going to take care of that, then you're in trouble with the Lord. You're breaking the scriptures. But on the other hand, if God is going to take revenge, it's going to be more severe than what you can take revenge on that person. Remember, think about that. And also it says, verse 20, Romans 12, 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. I'll tell you, only Christianity can do that, not any other religion. Remember in the Old Testament, there was a person by the name of Lamech, who was very boastful. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 23, this is what he said. Genesis 4:23, that we are living in the spirit of Lamech today, as there are many people who are very proudful. Genesis 4:23, and Lamech said to his wives,
Ada and Zillah. Hear my voice, wives of Lamech, listen to my speech. You can see he's more like an army's sergeant here. For I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. So he was pretty boastful. And here we see people are very, today people want to boast of their sins, what they have done. They want to show how macho they are. How many of you, let me ask you a question here. Be very honest now. How many of you need patience? Raise your hands, people who need patience. Yeah. Okay, I see almost everybody is raising your hands for patience, right? You need patience. How many of you would like for me to pray for patience for you? Everybody. Well, I'm going to pray that the Lord will bring you a heavy tribulation. Amen. Yeah, that is what I'm going to pray. And you might say, well, I didn't ask for a tribulation, I asked for patience. Don't bring me tribulations, just give me patience. Haven't you read Romans chapter 5, verse 3? Romans chapter 5, verse 3. This is what he says. I'm going to pray for tribulation, so you will have patience. Romans 5, 3, the word of God says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produces what? Patience, perseverance. So it's tribulations that gives us the patience. Now, let me ask you a question. If everything is going fine, your way, everything, nice and rosy, you know, you're kind of smooth sailing, no problems at all, everything is going your way, no problems at all, do you need patience? Of course not. But, beloved, we are living in a fallen world. We are living in a fallen world. Everything is not going to go your way. Especially if you are doing the will of God, it's not going to go your way. The will of God is always opposite to the will of the world. You need patience. Patience, only Christians can have this character of patience. Unbelievers, they don't have that. James chapter 1, verse 3, starting from verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Wow. Patience. How we need patience. Remember the children of Israel? You know, the first thing when God redeemed them from the hand of the enemy, and from the power of God, the miracle of redemption, divided the Red Sea, and they were going through on dry land. And the first thing God did was to bring them into the wilderness. Trials, tribulations, hardships, difficulties. And they thought, what is this? I mean, they thought, God, He saved us. And what did I get into? Where are you bringing us? You're giving a lot of problems now. You saved us, and all these trials are coming into my life. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Deuteronomy 8. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to what? Humble you and test you to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord.
Wow. Patience. Humility. Out of humility comes gentleness, long-suffering. And did these people have humility, long-suffering, gentleness? No. They perish in the wilderness. Except for two were able to go. Why? Because they were walking by sight, not by faith in the Word of God. Because it says that we cannot live, but it's the true living is by the Spirit of God, by spiritual food. That is the most important thing. As you can see that all these things springs with humility. And if you say you don't have long suffering and gentleness, the reason is because you don't have humility. You cannot find these in our old nature. You cannot find long suffering, humility in our old nature. All these comes in our new nature in Christ. And we see apostles speaking of Christian unity in Ephesians chapter 4, as we see that bearing with one another in love. So that is having unity, Christian unity. And we see that the word forbear means to endure, undergo, to suffer with patience. So humility is the first steps for Christian unity. Humility produces meekness, strength under control, which we can bear with one another's burdens. And we can preserve the unity with humility. Why is it that quarrels and insults and fights come? What is the cause of quarrels, fights? What's James chapter 4 verse 1 says, James 4 1, wars and fights from among you, do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? So it comes within, from our old nature, because everybody is concerned of loving himself. Everybody is concerned of their own interest only. We need to lay aside our pride, our haughtiness, our arrogance, our self-interest, our self-love, and we need to clothe in humility and meekness and long-suffering and forbear one another in love. And this is Christian unity. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love suffers long. That long suffering. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. Our old nature is opposite to this. Our old nature loves ourselves. Our old nature loves our own interests before our neighbors. We will